Good morning, everybody. So good to be here and share the God's word with you. I know some of you, and I'm so happy to be here and share God's word. I want to start this morning reading on Exodus chapter 13. The title of the message is God Leads His People. So this is Exodus chapter 13, verses 17 to 22. This is God's word. When Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them by the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, "Lest the people change their minds when they see war and return to Egypt." But God led the people around by the way of the wilderness toward the Red Sea. And the people of Israel went up out of the land of Egypt equipped for battle. Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for Joseph had made the sons of Israel solemnly swear, saying, "God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones with you from here." And they moved on from Succoth and encamped at Etham on the edge of the wilderness. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them along the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, that they might travel by day and by night. The pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night did not depart from before them. That's God's word. You may be seated. Let me just have a moment of prayer before we expose this text. God, thank you for music, because we can worship you. Thank you for the people leading here this morning. Thank you for volunteers and for all your provision, Lord, for your church, so that we can listen to your voice, we can exalt your name, we can proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ here this morning. Thank you for the privilege you give me to be before your people to speak your word. And if there's anyone here that doesn't know you personally yet, I pray, Lord, that you will convince them that being a child of God is what we're designed for. So brought them to you, Lord, and save them this morning. Lead us, Holy Spirit, be with us so that our minds and hearts will listen to your voice and understand truth and move towards obedience and surrender before you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, thank you, Pastor Eric. I met Pastor Eric when I was a pastor resident in College Church in Wheaton, and it was quite a wonderful time over there, and I met the family as well. Pastor Eric's family and Sarah, and it's been so good to reconnect again after a few years. I know that, you know, all the things that Pastor Eric taught me, I'm going to teach you today. So if it's good, it's Pastor Eric. If it's not that good, just talk to him. So I have five kids as well. We wanted to fill another pew this morning, but one of our kids is sick this morning, so they can't be here. But they let me know. They're praying for me. I was remembering the violin. My daughter's learning to play the violin, and I was like, oh, yeah, I want to record a video of that, send it to her, and she'll be so excited to see that. It was good to worship with you, hearing you singing. I'm so glad to be here. As we are starting the new year, I want to point our minds to something that probably most of you are experiencing. And that is, you know, we have these new resolutions in the new year. And we are thinking about assessing the last year. How good of a husband I was. How good of a wife I was. How good of a worker. How is my career going? And how well am I leading my life in these aspects that I am managing right now? Because I want to do better in 2026. At least that's sort of the conversation I have with my wife. We talk about our kids, you know, school and what's coming. We want to do better and want to improve in all of those areas. And that is good. We need to do that. But today's passage helps us to actually turn our attention rather than to ourselves, to God. And to say, how is God leading me in all of these aspects? And that is important because the success on all of those areas of your life depends on how well you follow God's leadership. In today's passage, we see Israel actually following God's leadership. You know, we have different examples in the Bible of how Israel was following God. Sometimes they didn't do very well, and most of the time they didn't do that well. They were stubborn. But in this passage, we have a good example to follow of how Christians should follow God's leadership. So we'll see what God's leadership is like and what we should be following that leadership. So God is leading his people, and I want to show you three ways in which God is leading his people. God is leading his people through his path. God is leading his people with his presence. And God is leading his people perpetually. I'll tell you, this is also a life passage to me because God is showing me his sovereignty in many ways. And I learned this a few years ago. And I always come back to this text to be reminded of how is he leading me personally. He's leading his people, but he's leading you. And I want you to understand this morning that God is leading you through his path, with his presence, and perpetually. Perpetually meaning he's always leading you. So let's start with the first way in which we are going to find here in Exodus chapter 13 that God is leading his people with through his path. Look at verse 17. So Exodus chapter 13 verse 17 says, when Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them by the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. So God is leading them through a way, through a path. Now, when we go anywhere, we have different ways to get to that place, right? So there are different paths that we can take, different ways in life. And Israel also had different options in life, to go through life, different paths. So there was God's path. He's saying, this is the way I want for you. But there's also two other paths that we at least see in this passage. Those two paths are Pharaoh's path and Israel's path. See, two other options that they have, and then also God's path. Of course, the passage is telling us you must follow God's path. What he's telling you to do, do that. But there are other alternatives for Israel. So the first one is Pharaoh's path. The king of Egypt, he had them in slavery. That was for his benefit. For his benefit, that was his path for them. That was the plan that Pharaoh had for the people of Israel. They were slaves for 430 years, or at least part of that time, until Joseph died and the new Pharaoh came. They were in that land for 430 years, and they were slaves. That was the path that Pharaoh had for the people. But verse 17 in the beginning says, when Pharaoh let the people go. Oh, wait a minute. So Israel is not following anymore the plans that Pharaoh had for them. But now Israel is being let go by Pharaoh. Pharaoh is dropping his plan, his path. And the question is, why? Why did Pharaoh let go his slaves? Why did Pharaoh change his mind and let the free labor go away? He was building things and taking advantage of them. It was all for his benefit. If you read the book of Exodus, you know that many amazing things happen in the book of Exodus so that the people of Israel could go. But we just need to read one verse before 17 to understand why is that Pharaoh let the people go. It's the second half of verse 16 says, for By a strong hand, the Lord brought us out of Egypt. See, it was the Lord who took them out of Egypt. He had a plan. Pharaoh had a plan, but God's plan prevailed. God's path prevailed over Pharaoh's plan. That's what happened with God's children. When he has a plan for you, he will fulfill that plan. And of course, for Israel, is you just need to follow that plan. You need to understand first and then follow that plan. Now, the second path is the path of Israel. Now, if we continue reading over there, we will understand that that path is by the way of the land of the Philistines. Look at this. It says, God did not lead them by the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. And that is the way of Israel, I am assuming here, not that it says that, because it is just faster. It's a faster way to get to their destination if you follow the way that is faster. The only thing is that they have to fight with them. They have to face war and fight with the Philistines. Now, if you continue to read, verse 18 says that Israel was equipped for battle. Isn't that amazing? So, yeah, they had to fight with the Philistines, but they also were equipped to do so. So Israel could have said, wait a minute, we are equipped to fight with the Philistines. We don't need to follow God's path. We just face the Philistines. We have everything to fight them. And if you read just one chapter before, it says that there were about 600,000 men, without including the women and the children, ready to fight. 600,000 men coming out of Egypt, ready to fight, equipped for battle. That is a huge army. So they were ready to do it. However, God knew, maybe Israel didn't know this, but God knew that although that was near, God said, lest the people change their minds when they see war and return to Egypt. So that was not the plan that God had for them. He said, I will not lead them that way because I know, because I'm God, what would happen if they go that way. Now, understanding those two kinds of other paths, how does this matter to us? Some of the questions that we have sometimes is, God, where do you want me to go? Where do you want me to put my children? God, what school? God, what is the job that I should take? I have these options right now. God, should I continue here? Should we homeschool? God, please, could you just tell me what should I do? Show me the path. And the reality is that the people of Israel didn't know exactly what was all the plan of God. They just knew that they had to follow God step by step in the path that he was showing to them. It was not this way. It was not going back to Pharaoh. But it was just going ahead to what God was showing them. And that is the reality to us. And the question that we may ask so many times is like, why is not God just showing us the path? Everything, Lord, I just want to know everything that is going to happen in 2026. Just show me the plan. And we as churches do that sometimes. We have a roadmap of a spiritual growth for our children and say, okay, here's how our children are going to start. This is the program that we have for them. And then it goes middle school and this is the program. And you see a beautiful roadmap where it's just straightforward, everything is going to happen until they graduate from college and they are just wonderful ministers of God's word. But that's not how it works. It's way more complicated than that, and God does not reveal, even though that roadmap is good, God does not reveal his plan to us, but we must trust. That is the question, right? Why is not God showing us? Maybe number one, because we must trust him. We must learn to trust. Number two, because we may not understand it, even if he tells us. This is why. And number three, because he is God and we are not. He's a sovereign Lord and he knows what's best for you and me. Therefore, even though we don't know what's next, we must trust what we had revealed to us for today. Think, for instance, this morning, God had revealed his will very clearly to you. You needed to be at church, and you did. Good job. That's as far as you know today. You're listening to God's word, and he revealed that to you, and you clearly know that that is part of being obedient to God. And so the Lord will continue to reveal to you as much as you need to know, and you must trust him. Now, of course, the Bible also calls us to continually seek God's counsel by being at church, by reading his word, by praying, by constantly pursuing and trying to understand what is his specific will. His general revelation to us says you must pursue sanctification. Get away from sin. Obey his word. But what are the specific details that he wants for you? You must seek him. Now, God is not trying to trick you and try to bring these mysteries that you have to puzzle together. But he wants to reveal to you, and you must go to his presence daily. And not just to figure out what is God's will for you, but also to enjoy his presence as well. And so many times, probably that is the problem that we have, is that we just go to God so that he will reveal his will to us and not just to enjoy his presence and to be with him. Because actually, that is God's will, that you will enjoy him, enjoy who he is. He created you, he designed you, so that you will enjoy his presence. Now, see, Israel was equipped for battle. And this is another point that I want to talk about. As Christians or as workers, as a professional, as a parent, as a husband or as a wife, you could think like the way that Israel could have thought is, am I equipped for this? Do I have the skills required to be a good Christian, to be a good husband, a good wife, a good son or a good daughter? And the answer over here is from Israel is like, it doesn't matter, Israel, if you're equipped for battle or not, because God will show you your path. So God wanted to show them that it doesn't matter what are their skill sets or their abilities, their strength, because they are not walking and following God in their own path, in their own strength, but in God's. So in all of those challenges that you have, don't worry about how much equipment you have, how much abilities you have. If you have many, that is good, but rely on the Lord. If you don't have much in whatever area, don't worry. Rely on the Lord. He will equip you. He will prepare you. God's path is best. We must trust. The second way that God is leading his people is with his presence. Look at verse 19 and 20. It says, verse 19, Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for Joseph had made the sons of Israel solemnly swear, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones with you from here. So in verse 19, basically says that Moses, the person who represents God himself before the people of Israel, took the dead body, or what was left of it, the bones of Joseph, picked them up and said, let's go. That is the weirdest thing to do before leaving Egypt. Carrying up the body. But it had a significance. It doesn't have to do with the dead body of Joseph, but it has to do with what it represents. It's not just a covenant that Joseph made in Genesis chapter 50 about himself, but it's about God and his presence. And that's the way that God leads his people. In Genesis 20, verse 25, is exactly that quotation that we see in verse 19, that God says, that Joseph said, when God visits you, you will take my bones and carry them to the promised land. God promised you, Israel, that he will give you a land. He will take you out of Egypt and give you a land that he promised for you. And when he comes, make sure to take my bones with you. Again, it's not much about the bones, but it's about God's presence. Now, Moses did that hundreds of years after Joseph had passed away. And he picked them up. Everyone in Israel, a million people, sees this and say, God is here. God's presence is with us. Moses representing God himself, and Joseph's bones representing that God has come back for his people. Now, I don't know if you remember this, but it feels like it was a long time ago. During the pandemic, everybody had to stay home, and their presence was not at work, but they had to do everything remotely. Some people actually just stay that way, right? Like, close the offices and let's be working remotely. But the reality is that it's really hard even to run a church, pastors know that, remotely, have online church, because shepherding and leadership has to be with your presence there. Parents know that if you want to lead your child well, you need to be present. How many times parents have been in your phones? And this happened just recently to me. I was in my phone, and my son Dawson, he was asking me for a snack. And he said, hey, Dad, can I have a snack bar? And I don't even remember what I was doing on my phone. And I just mumbled something. And he kept asking like 2 or 3 times. And I didn't say anything. He's 3 years old. Then he grabbed my face, and he said, Daddy, I love you so much. You are my best friend. Oh, and so I put my phone away. Oh, I love you so much, Dawson. You're my best friend too. Can I have a snack? Oh, he's so smart. But the reality is that he understood that even though I was there, I was not present. If we want to be good parents, we need to be present with our children. Not just being at home, but being with them, being intentional. If we want to be good workers, we need to show up to work to make things happen. If we want to be good pastors, we need to be with the people. If we want to be good church, we need to be with the church and have fellowship together. And that is exactly what God is doing here. He is a good leader. He is the best leader we can have. And he is present. He is with his people. And the carrying up of Joseph's bones is showing us that God is there. That he is with his people. He's showing that he cares for you and me. The reality is that sometimes it doesn't feel like that. Sometimes we go through trials, we lose someone we love, someone gets sick in our family, and we wonder, what is this happening? Is God really here? Is God in the middle of all of these difficult things that are happening in my life or in my family? It's been so long, and you wonder, is God here? Well, the Bible is showing us that, yes, He is. Even though we don't feel His presence, He is there. He cares for you. And so the conclusion is, of God's presence is, are you aware of His presence in your life? Do you walk in your life knowing that God is with you? Because knowing that God is with you makes an enormous difference in the way you act, the way you live, and also in the way you see life, whether good and especially bad things. Because of course, it's easy to think God is with me when everything is going well. But remember, even if you are going through a difficult time in your life, God is with you. And I don't know if you read this book called Trusting God. I recommend you to read that from Jerry Bridges. He talks about trusting God in difficult times. He says, when you are in a good season, that is when you have to fill yourself with God's word and put in your mind and your heart that God is with you. Remember, engrave this in your heart. God is with you, so that when difficult times come, you will also remember that God is with you. So whether you are difficult time or a good time, engrave that in your heart. God is with you as He was with the people of Israel. Now, there is a nuance in God's presence, and that is the third way in which God is leading His people, you and me, is that God is leading His people perpetually, meaning forever. He's always there. Verse 21 and 22 is very full of emphasis. Verse 21 says, and the Lord went before them, before the people of Israel, by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them along the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, that they might travel by day and by night. The pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night did not depart from before the people. So those two verses have a lot of repetition just to show us not necessarily the form in which God show up, but the circumstances in which God show up to the people of Israel. And the circumstances are day and night. Why? Because the writer, Moses, probably writing this, wants to show us that God is always with His people. God didn't say, okay, this is the way that you are going to go. Follow this way, straight line. I'll see you next week. No, He was there always. He was always with them. God is leading His people perpetually. His presence is always with us. Now, anytime I read something in the Bible, I wonder something, and it would be amazing to be there in the book of Exodus. Can you imagine following that huge pillar of cloud and saying that is God's presence right ahead of us? And then suddenly it starts to get dark, and now it's not a cloud, but it's a fire coming before us. And it's dark, but you know God is before you. Maybe in the desert it's a little chilly, but God's presence heats you up, warms you up, and you feel a physical manifestation of God's presence with you. Wouldn't that be amazing? But let me tell you of something even more amazing. The Bible says that God is not just ahead of us, but that God is in us. Therefore, that manifestation will be great, but what we are experiencing today as a church is even greater. Because God has sent His Spirit to be in us. Thing that the Israelite could not experience. Jesus said, I will ask the Father, and He will give you another helper to be with you forever. And that helper is the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit that will be with us for the eternity. The Holy Spirit that is leading you home. Because this is not our home. Our home is in heaven, that promised land. But something was necessary to happen for the Holy Spirit to come to us, and that is the gospel. That God, Emmanuel, God with us, had to come first, be born of a virgin, live a perfect life, give His life for you and me, resurrect on the third day, minister for 40 days, show up to the disciples, and then say, I will go to the Father and I will send you the Holy Spirit. That is the gospel that we believe. If you are a child of God, God is leading you. If you are not a child of God, if you didn't put your faith in Christ yet, I want to invite you today and saying the invitation is open. Jesus wants to be your Savior. He wants to give you the Holy Spirit so that He will lead you securely to home in heaven. That is the gospel that we believe and that we celebrate. So we are remembering the Lord and the Lord's Supper this morning as well. John 16:7, Jesus said, it is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you, but if I go, I will send Him to you. So today, we know that Jesus Christ is that right hand of the Father interceding for us, and the Holy Spirit is not just with us among the pews, but He is in us through faith in Jesus Christ, leading us to the heavenly place. Now, this is the other reality. It's not that only the only role of the Holy Spirit is to take us to heaven, but He is leading you through every single decision in your life so that it will be for God's glory and so that you will understand God's will. That you will know God's path for you this morning and tomorrow and the next week until He calls you to His glory. That you will know that His presence is with you and that He will never leave you. Isn't that awesome news? So the encouragement for you this morning is, let's live that way. Encouraged knowing that God is with us, that He will show us the way, His presence is with us, and that His presence is always with us. Let's pray together. Father, thank You for Your word. Thank You for the encouragement that You give us through the example of Exodus 13, knowing that You led the people of Israel through the desert, and that in a greater way, thanks to the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, we have the Holy Spirit living in us through faith. I pray, Lord, that if someone doesn't know Jesus, that they will pursue him and surrender to him and say, Jesus, save me. I pray for those who wonder about the future, that you will help them and that you will help us, me, to trust in the present. Thank you for your word, Lord, and we worship you, continue to exalt your name, knowing that you are with us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Church, let's stand.